views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 6. Today is August the 31st, 2017. We have a live show for you today, and it's been an extremely hectic day for your boy today. So just want to say, hey, we still are going to get in what we need to get in, okay? So we're going to have Black Rose. Let me see if I can text Black Rose to tell her to go ahead and give us a call for today's show, and that is something that I definitely will be looking forward to. And let me just see real quickly, and then I will text her. Very, very important, because Black Rose is on the network. She has her own show, and she's in Houston. And so she's going to be giving us some information about what's going on in Houston, and definitely letting us know what's going on, as you know, what's really going on. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. So let me just give the sister a call today. 1 second. Oh, well, I'm not going to call. I'm going to give her a text. And we will have her call
in. I think
in.
She's already on the line.
Brother Dave? Yes.
Oh, there she is. Hey, sis, and I'm sorry. Thanks, Scotty. I can't see the board because here. Let me tell you my day, y'all. Okay, so we didn't have a show on Tuesday. Reason being is because my truck had some major problems. Had to get it fixed, and it's been in the shop. So I was down one vehicle. And that one vehicle was the one that I, you know, rely on for some things. And so it had my gas and everything in it. And lo and behold, here in Dallas, there's no gas to be found anywhere in the city. Very difficult, long lines, gas running out. So we've been battling that, and I've been going all over. So I wasn't able to post much into the show and everything else. And so just a crazy day. So I had to pull over real quick because I was driving. So I was going to call Black Rose, but she said she would be on, and here she is. So my crazy day is, now you know how it was going. So, but that's all right, because there's others that are going through far, far more than what we had to deal with here. So I'm so glad Black Rose is here. Sister, welcome, welcome. Thank you for coming to Tando Radio Show. And we are eager to hear from you. But first and foremost, as you already know, Scotty had reached out to you, let you know that we would want to help you out and help out who you see that needs help down there in Houston. And I'm actually putting a contingent of people together But because of the gas situation, I actually wanted some black fishermen, bass fishermen, to come down with their boats and help out with the rescue, rescuing and everything. But once this gas situation hit, they were like, no, I'm not doing anything right now because I don't want to get caught. So I'm like, but we will still get stuff together, and we will definitely do what we can. And all of the listeners here at Black Talk Radio Network will be able to contribute. So without further ado, Black Rose is here. We're going to definitely hear from her. Black Rose, sister, thank you for coming on and going to share your experience. And it's so, so important, because I know everything that you're going to be telling us, different people will be facing that same, those same circumstances in the future, or similar circumstances that may not exactly be that same thing, but the overall need to be prepared and have a plan and to be self-reliant is so, so important. So, Black Rose, first tell us, how are you doing? Is there anything that you need that we can facilitate, or is there any immediate needs that you see that should be, that we should be working on and facilitating? Because we'll coordinate everything on our side and then get it to you. So what's really going on in Houston, and tell us how you're doing first and foremost, Black Rose.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. And I just really want to send my condolences out to those people that have really, really, really suffered. There have been a number of fatalities. I think only like about 33 to 34 have been reported, but there are many more, I'm sure, that will surface.
Right.
People actually start going door to door, and that's the issue that we're dealing with here. I actually just received a text as you were speaking. I texted a friend to ask how she's doing. Haven't heard from her in about 3 days, and she finally just texts back. I text her. I said, "Are you okay?" And she texts back, "Hell no." So people are having a terrible, terrible, terrible time here. And if anybody is able to come into Houston, I don't know how you can make it in. Most people are coming in via boat. As you mentioned,
yes,
about the bass fishers, you will definitely have to have a boat. Just a mile up from me, rescues are taking place. So we're quite nervous here. We watched the rescue of an elderly woman. And it's a main thoroughfare, Kirkwood, here in Houston. And the street has become a creek. And so boats are being used down the street that I normally travel down just about every other day. So it is incredulous here. People are really, really, really suffering. The Greens Bayou area, which is on the north side of town, which also suffered last year, Katrina-like flood.
Right.
There are people over there. I was just reading a report. Some people watched 12 people drown. 12 people. And I don't even think that those 12 deaths are counted in this number of 34, because most of those fatalities have been counted in like the outlying areas, like in Dickinson, which I was just in Dickinson a couple of weeks ago. So I'm so, so thankful to be back here in Houston. But I mean, we're barricaded in here in Houston, from the east side to the west side. We're barricaded in. I can't leave more than a mile, almost probably half a mile. I can't even leave out of my neighborhood. The gas station,
wow,
one of the gas stations is open. I live in the vicinity with three grocery stores. Only one has been open, and that's the Kroger grocery store. The gas station, the gas is still at $2.07. I've been hearing that the gas price has been increasing, even in places like Memphis, my hometown. I don't know why the gas
right.
is increasing down there. But, I mean, the gas here in my neighborhood is still $2.07. But I just want to say, Brother Tando, I support Mayor Turner, our mayor's decision on us not evacuating, not issuing a mandatory or voluntary evacuation. People can use their own common sense if they wanted to evacuate, but you can see what happened when people were trying to evacuate. When I came in Thursday night, I couldn't get any gas. The grocery
mm-hmm.
stores were crowded. There wasn't much on the shelves. I think I mentioned to you, I couldn't even find a green bell pepper, no bell peppers, no water.
Right.
no bread, very little peanut butter or almond butter on the shelves, you know, some staples. No tuna fish, probably like about 6 cans of tuna. So it was horrible, absolutely horrible. I was able to fill up Friday. I still have that gas in my tank because, like I said, we can't go anywhere. You couldn't go anywhere. You didn't want to go anywhere for the first 3 days. We had tornado warnings every 15 minutes, and I mean, it was horrible. We were out of power. Power was just restored last night, but it's still going in and out. So we're really dealing with some tragedies, I mean, just catastrophic here.
Wow. So you know, Black Rose, when we were talking, when we were talking, and I didn't mean to cut you off, so go ahead, finish what you were saying, because I want to bring back something that when we were talking on the phone that you said, but go ahead, finish what you were saying, Black Rose.
I was just going to say, if anybody were to come in, the areas that they were probably, you know what, now that I think about it, that's so hard to say, because even though this hurricane has passed, we're still dealing with this flooding issue.
Right.
There's just so many areas, and it's not just Houston, it's Beaumont and Crosby now with this chemical plant explosion. I have friends out there. I have friends in Baytown. So we just need help everywhere.
Give everyone a synopsis of how many people live in that general area of Houston and the surrounding suburbs and cities, suburbs around Houston. What would you say? Because I know it's the fourth largest city in the country, but and tell everyone, for our listeners, how bad the traffic is around, you know, just the Houston area, because it's so congested, so that way they get a better understanding of just how, when you say trapped, that is, you know, the water definitely has trapped you, but also how the city is built, is you're trapped because of that as well.
Okay, so when we talk about Houston, we generally include the Houston metro area. And so the metro area would include Houston, the suburb of Sugar Land, also like Fort Bend County. We're in Harris County, but you still include Sugar Land and Pearland, which are in the Fort Bend County. So including those areas, we generally say 4.5 million. But we're talking about this hurricane pretty much reached these outlying small towns like Dickinson and Wharton. And so that increases the number to 6.5 million. So the reason why I say that I support Mayor Turner's decision in us not having this mandatory evacuation, because how in the world could 6.5 million people try to exit Houston? And really the only places that we could have gone to would have been Austin, going up I-10 to 290 and going up to Austin, or I-45 downtown, going through downtown and going through Dallas. If anybody's been online and you've seen pictures of what our downtown looked like last week, it was underwater. Parts of I-10 were underwater. So really, you couldn't escape anywhere, even if we were to go down to Galveston, which the hurricane miraculously circumvented. You still have to go through downtown to get to I-45 south, going down to Galveston. So we couldn't take that route. We couldn't go I-45 north, because you still have to go through downtown. And Austin, you could go up to Austin, but we didn't know which way the hurricane was going. So that's
exactly why
he did not issue that, because it was reported that the hurricane could go up and then come right back down and come back through Houston and then go down to Galveston to, you know, go back out into the Gulf. So that's why he did not issue that mandatory evacuation. We would have all been stuck on I-45. I think it was last year when people were trying to leave, or maybe it may have been the year before, and several people died of heat exhaustion. We would have run out of gas. We were 6.5 million people on I-45, so I guess we were just going to flood Dallas, and there would not have been enough hotels. Where were we going to stay?
Right.
What were we
going
to do?
And Black Rose, and because that was a command decision that was really, you know, with the circumstances, that was the best thing, because the overall traffic, the 45 has about four or five lanes. In some areas, it's down to three lanes. It's no way in the world everyone would have been able to get north. 6 million people on the move trying to get north. It just would not have worked. It would not have worked. Even if they would have used the other side of the freeway to divert, and it would have helped, but it just would not have moved. Those freeways don't even move in regular rush hour during a regular business day.
Let me tell you, one of the offices that I have to travel to in the morning is actually only a 30-minute drive, but sometimes it can take up to an hour and 15 minutes. That's regular traffic. So, no,
right. There's
no way in the world that we would have been able to make it. And even on a regular rainy day without this hurricane, we have about 2 feet of water in the front of where I live on any day when it rains. So just imagine what this area looks like now. I mean, we don't have... I'm so grateful. I should start out that I'm so grateful we did not experience any flooding. I live upstairs. Now, my neighbors downstairs, they did experience flooding. They're not there. In this area, we don't have any flood waters on the street that I live on, but the next street over, there's flooding on parts of that street going towards I-10. I stay right behind on the side. I'm parallel to I-10. So I can drive out and I see I-10.
Right. Wow. And, you know, Black Rose, is the thing that was so incredible, the speed in which you came in, if you didn't get out early enough, then you needed to really, you know, seek shelter and try to, you know, ride it out. Because, like you said, there would have been no place that you could have gone. You know, you just would have put yourself in harm's way. And so... that was a good command decision. Now, Black Rose, so tell us about the overall there's a couple of things we want to do. For the listeners, if you'd like to get in on the conversation with Black Rose, don't hesitate. Give us a call. I can't see the board, so you're just going to have to say, excuse me. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. We're talking to Black Rose, who is in Houston as we speak right now. Black Rose, if you would just lay it out, from the beginning of the first start of the hurricane, just give us, what was it like hours before the hurricane came in, from, you know, going to the store, gas, what was the overall feel and temperament of the people that you had saw? What were you experiencing when you with the people and the weather starting to change?
Well, I was in Galveston Monday, Tuesday, and I came back to Houston Wednesday, and we were actually wondering if we should stay in Galveston. But of course, we have family here, so we, you know, decided to come on back. And
right. Let's
see. So Wednesday night, I came back. Everything was pretty calm. People, you know, still concerned about the hurricane coming. Thursday, I went to one of the offices, and we were supposed to come in to the office on Friday, but we knew that the weather would be dangerous because of the hurricane approaching, so we decided we just would not come in Friday. We just, you know, waited out and see. Maybe by Monday things would be a little bit better. So Thursday on the way home, like I said, I went to the grocery store, tried to get some gas, could not get any gas. Gas stations completely packed. And I came home and just kind of waited it out. And come Friday morning, it was just horrific, just rain, wind, constant tornado warnings. We were constantly going into our little shelter in my closet. Thankfully, I have a walk-in closet, so we had the pillows and the blankets in there. We wrapped up our, insurance papers, driver's license, and all that.
Right.
I text my family and friends out of the state. It was pretty crazy. I mean, like I said, you could just see people in the grocery stores that Thursday night just trying to prepare, and it was like something I've never seen, because I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, so we don't have hurricanes and all of that. So this was my very, very first hurricane. Didn't know what to do. Had to go online and try to make sure I had everything prepared. I have dogs, so that's one reason why I couldn't just hop a flight and just get out of here like that.
Right.
And again, I think it was, I want to say Friday, that's when we heard that the airports were pretty much underwater and no flights coming in or out.
Right.
So we were like, oh my God, even if you did want to leave, you couldn't go anywhere. And so.
Yeah. And then you would have been stuck at the airport.
You would have been stuck at the airport. I think the airport's just opened back up yesterday. I had a friend to fly in, and they made it in safely.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just horrific, just pandemonium, just panic, people just trying to prepare. And in preparation, Academy did open up. Academy is a sports store. And Academy mm-hmm. opened up just so people could purchase boats so that they could help rescue. So there have been a lot of rescue operations here. Our convention center, George I. Brown Convention Center, which has a maximum capacity of 4,000 people, 4,000 to 5,000, but there are 9,000 plus people that are being sheltered there. And so some of the mosques and temples opened up, thankfully, to shelter some people. And, you know, there was a lot of controversy about Joel Osteen not opening up his mega church to allow people to come in. And that church is near Uptown, and it sits mm-hmm. on Highway 59. And, you know, we haven't really heard much about any flooding directly in that area.
No, there is none.
That area was pretty dry. There are some people that you know, do have some video of that area, Lakewood Church, and like I said, we had more water in the front of our place than Lakewood had after this hurricane. So, I mean, he really could have opened up that church to allow people to
right.
come in, and instead of people being packed in George I. Brown and not having anywhere to go.
Right, and that facility, that church is huge. That's where the Astros used to play, correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That church seats 16,000 to 17,000 people. And when he finally did, Joel Osteen, when he finally did open up the church, after I saw this page of his where you can donate $50, $100, $200 or more, I was completely disturbed about that, because I said 59. I mean, that was the one highway we weren't hearing anything about. All you heard about was 10 and 45. Those are our main highways.
Right.
59, Highway 59. But we didn't hear anything about Highway 59. And like I said, Highway 59, where Lakewood Church is, it's going towards Uptown. We have an Uptown and a Downtown here in Houston, just like New York. So that church is elevated. And then not only is it elevated, he has a mountain of stairs that you have to climb just to get into the church. So people could have
right.
been in there, and they could have had shelter. I had a neighbor that expired because our power was out, and he was on an oxygen machine. So I'm sure that death is not included in this count of 33 or 34 either. So the death toll will rise, and that's really, really sad. My condolences go out to everybody. But we need help here.
Yeah.
We need some help here. People are being rescued. And it is just horrible. I mean, just to look at streets that look like many rivers or creeks, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
Never seen anything.
You know, and I know the pictures don't do, because when you're really there, you see the magnitude of it. It's everywhere, you know. And Black Rose, you were speaking about...
Oh, Dave.
And when we were talking, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Black Rose, this is Scotty.
Hey, Scotty.
And I know you will be joining me tomorrow for our afternoon news mix and what have you. But I have to ask this question now while it's on my mind. You know, when Hurricane Katrina hit and you were just talking about deaths, you're sure the death toll is going to go up. Have you, and I know it's tough for you to get news, possibly, apparently you're still connected, able to get online and what have you, and we're happy for that, that you still have lines of communication. But have you heard any similar stories like we heard coming out of Algiers Point, I believe it was, in Louisiana, where that community of racist people were shooting and killing black people who were trying to escape the waters? And then you also had the bridge, I forget the name of the bridge, where the cops murdered people.
The infamous bridge.
Yeah, I forgot the name of that bridge. It starts with a D or something. So, you know, in preparation.
I can't think of the name of it either.
Yeah, in preparation, you know, we talk about food, water, and all that good stuff. But at the same time, firearms is very important, because some people take advantage or take an opportunity when these type of things happens.
Right.
To murder people, just straight up murder people based for whatever reasons. But in Louisiana, we saw them targeting black people because of the color of their skin. So have you heard anything like that going on? And has that ever crossed your mind?
I have to say, Scotty, I have not heard anything as horrific as that that people experienced during Katrina. We haven't even had not numerous reports of any looting. As a matter of fact, there have been people rescuing people coming together and helping each other. So I haven't, and I've been trying to check around, not only just in Houston but outside of Houston, people in Port Arthur, people in Beaumont, Crosby, Baytown, Maryland, all of these different areas, and I haven't heard anything like that at all. Not to say that it's not happening, but I haven't heard anything. Like I said, you know me, Scott, I get on the phone and try to find out what's going on, and I haven't heard anything like that. There's an area called Sunnyside. I know people were saying that a lot of the black people weren't being rescued, and the black areas were being flooded. Well, Houston is a microcosm of the world anyway. So there are very few just black areas in Houston, with the exception of Sunnyside and Fifth Ward. And I have a friend that lives in Sunnyside. She did not sustain any flooding, but it just really depends on how high your house sits.
Right.
So what I think is what developers are going to have to start doing here in Houston is what developers have done in Galveston, and that is build some of these houses on stilts. Something mm-hmm. has to change, because we're already sitting on this wetland.
Hey, Black Rose, I'm sorry.
It's just overdeveloped.
Yeah, let me interject mm-hmm. real quick. The Mississippian culture, the civilization that existed here before Jamestown and all of that, and the founding of the British colonies, they were called what? Mound builders. Why did they build their houses on mounds?
Yeah, and that was this Danzier Bridge.
Yep, it sure was. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Yeah, and
so
you know,
I haven't heard anything like that though. Any shootings or people preventing people from going anywhere? Like I said, people have been so trapped in. Goodness gracious, I mean, we've all been affected in some kind of way, so I don't think people really had time even to do anything like that here.
Black Rose, the weather forecast for the weekend is what's the weather forecast? Supposed to be more rain this weekend, or was it going to subside and not? Hopefully no more rain.
No more rain, but there is, I think that's Hurricane Irma that's in the Caribbean now. So
yeah.
People are keeping a watch.
It's just outside. It's on the other side of, it's actually on the other side of, it's on its way. Hopefully it turns right and goes towards upper Florida. We just don't want it going back in the Gulf, because once it gets in the Gulf, that would be, oh my goodness, there's no telling where it could go and the strength it would gain in the Gulf. So I think it's going to miss the Gulf.
Well, we hope
and pray that happens, yes, because that would not be good. You know, Black Rose, with the the thing that I'm really, really concerned about, when you went to the grocery store, What was the situation that you found in the grocery store before the hurricane? And since then, what have you noticed? Because we had kind of talked about it, and it, I think it's really important for our listeners to hear which grocery stores were contributing in your eyes, and ones that were just, you know, they're just out of, you know, they're out of pocket.
Well, I live in the vicinity of three grocery stores. I can actually walk to three different grocery stores. Two of them were closed. Kroger was the only one that was open. While we were in there, the power continued to go in and out, in and out, in and out. Oh, I didn't mention this. And the grocery store would only allow, like, two people in at a time. So what day was that? Today is Thursday. So I think it was Tuesday when I drove by the grocery store. There was a line going down the street just to get into the grocery store. So it's imperative that you stock up. And we had enough food. We were just going by just to get some more water, just get a few more things.
Right.
The grocery store was open because it seemed like we were going to be, as we are, barricaded in. So,
right.
Yeah, there was a line going down the street that was like Tuesday. And so yesterday when I went to the grocery store, the line was short. They allowed us to come in. The power was going in and out, so we were trying to rush through and just get what you could because we knew that the grocery store would have to shut down. And sure enough, we were standing there. Everything, the power went out. It was shut down. Power shut down. So we were standing there, and one lady started pleading with the manager saying, hey, listen, you know, I don't have any food. We need food. We need this. We need water. And he was trying to work through the situation, and finally he made the executive decision for us to just go on the honor system, as he said, and they charged us $1 for every item that we had. So I'm so thankful to Kroger for,
wow,
just, you know, allowing. I don't know if I should say that. I don't want to get the grocery store in trouble or anything, but I mean, we're in a disaster situation here.
Yeah, you're in a disaster, as you said.
Right.
Right. That was a command, and that was the right moral decision to make at that time. It's not about the sales of food. It's about now you are in a relief operation. You're not in sales of your product. You're using them. So that was, you know, that was what that manager should have done. And Kroger should be, you know, celebrating that individual for making that command decision, because many people wouldn't do it. You know, afraid of this and afraid of that. He did was, or she did what was exactly appropriate and responsible.
Yes, he did. And I said that I would go back up there and thank him again and interview him also. And let me just speak on another great citizen here in Houston, if I could. We have a gentleman here. Okay, we have a gentleman here by the name of Mattress Mac. His last name is McIngvale. And I've been here in Houston for 8 years. I heard about this man when I first came here. He produces these very flamboyant mattress commercials to sell all of his Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Now, this man has three stores. He opened up all three of his stores immediately as shelters for people and allowed them to sleep on those brand-new mattresses that he could sell and make money from. Even mattresses that were in the warehouse. So you can go online and you can actually see the pictures where, you know how the furniture stores have the displays, the bedroom displays and all that. Well, people are able to have some semblance of a bedroom during this catastrophic period. So I just want to commend him, and we're trying to proclaim a Mattress Mac Day, August 26th, because he opened up his doors immediately, as opposed to what Joel Osteen did, not opening up his humongous church that could have sheltered many people. So this man opened up all three of his stores, allowed people to come in with their pets, so that they can have shelter. He even gave out his phone number online so that people can call him if they need transportation to make it to one of the store locations. They would provide their transportation, bring them there. So I have to commend this Mattress Mac, such a great man. And he did the same thing 2005 for the Katrina victims. So this is not just something he just, oh, let me just go ahead on and try to be a great man and do something. But he always does this. I've been hearing about this man. So this is what Houston is about. And that's why I love Houston. I support Mayor Turner. He made the right decision. This would have been even more tragic if we would have all been trying to escape and leave out of here.
Right, right. Well, that is exactly that. That's exemplary. And that individual, those are the individuals that you really want to support and to ask them to do further things and to get their opinion on a lot of things, because those individuals are sincere. And Mattress Mac, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mattress Mac.
Okay, so write that down. Okay, all right, great. So listen, I think we got to get ready to go. No, we're I can't see yet. We're not on up for a commercial break real quick. A couple more things. If you got any questions for Black Rose, don't hesitate. Give her a call. You have a question, a comment, want to hear about what's going on, give her a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit **. I'm not on the board. I won't be able to see you, so make sure that you just say excuse me, and then we will get you in. Black Rose, from the so far the whole event, and that's something that I definitely want to say to you personally, and I'm going to say it now. Sister, if anything changes in Houston, have you seen where the rescue sites are? You said that they were kind of close to you. They were rescuing people not too far from you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, sister.
Yeah, there's one church, I think it's, I can't think of the name of the church, but there are plenty of supplies, and so I know that that's a place where supplies are. It's right here at Memorial, right before you get to Kirkwood. Oh, gosh, I wish I could think of the name of the church. But, we do have a few places that are open that are trying to assist. But as I said, I have another friend that's less than 2 miles from me, and the water is continuing to rise, and they're very nervous, and they have 2 children. And so, yeah, people are just extremely nervous. I have another friend about half a mile from me, probably not even that far. She was evacuated last night. So we're extremely nervous. We're just keeping a watch on everything, and we're just hoping that our power stays on and that we do not have to evacuate. I mean, but so many people are experiencing that.
Yes, because you don't. Now, for your friend, Black Rose, that the water is still rising, one of the things you want to express to them, that if they see where the rescues are, if it's not the boat rescues, but it's the helicopter rescues, what they have to do is they have to go to the helicopter, because the helicopter won't come to them, because, you know, they have to worry about, it's an urban area, and the power lines and everything else. That becomes a very, very difficult thing for the pilots to navigate. So if you could express to them that they have to get a helicopter rescue, they got to go to the helicopter, because it won't come to them. They only go where they know that they've made a success, because it's called a landing zone. They're only going to go to that same landing zone to rescue people from there. So if you would express that to them, that's because that's the safest place for that helicopter to operate. Okay.
Absolutely, and as you're speaking, there's a helicopter flying overhead now. We've seen, it's the military planes and helicopters constantly flying over for the past, I would say, 3 days.
Yes. Well, watch them, Black Rose, especially around your area. Watch everything that's going on. See where they're going, what they're doing, because it may be something that may be useful to you, because if you start to see them making rescues at different places, then you know that things may be deteriorating around you. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that, but just in case. Now, how far are the reservoirs from you? Attic and what was the other breaker?
Bark of Cypress.
Yeah.
That's about 30 minutes for me, as well as the Cinco Ranch area, which has been highlighted today. That's about 30 minutes from me. Not far at all, just about 12 to 15 miles.
Okay. All right. So yeah, that you always want to be aware of those, especially if because right now is all that water is like a pooling effect, and they can't get rid of the water is not, you know, can't get rid of it. It's still rising. So hopefully that will stop because you're not getting any further weather or the water stops rising. But be aware of the rising of the water, Black Rose, so that you'll have some options for you in case you need to take the necessary precautions. Okay.
Exactly. And as I was driving towards I-10 yesterday, just circling my neighborhood, and there was a police barricade at I-10 and the street called Derry Ashford, which is the next main thoroughfare next to me. It was just so surreal and creepy to see the water rushing down the highway for the feeder, like the side road of the highway, the feeder of I-10. I mean, you could just see the water rushing down and spilling over onto Derry Ashford, the road. It was just like, I couldn't believe it. It was like something out of a movie.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. It was scary. It was scary.
Well, we are so glad that you are fine. We've been praying for you when Scotty told us, because I have a friend that's actually in Missouri City, and they're similar to you. They're trapped where they are, but they have no major flooding around them. So that was always good. But they're trapped. They can't move. They're stuck. They're completely stuck. Black Rose, now, from what you experienced, how important is preparing for something before it happens? Now, from this experience that you just went through, how important is it to prepare before things happen?
Oh, you definitely need to make sure that you have all your water, all your MREs, all of your lemons for your water, anything like that. A hatchet. I also read that for people that would go up into their attics, you don't want to get stuck in the attic. You need a hatchet to bust through that attic so that you can, yes, and have your white towel so that you could alert any rescuers that you're there. So a hatchet, and I think I mentioned to you that I would, as soon as Academy reopens, I'm going to get one of those swimsuits, those all-over-body scuba diving suits and some taller rain boots. You need all of that because thankfully I have some pretty sturdy rain boots, but I need another pair because just going through this, I could feel a little of the water seeping through. So you definitely want to make sure not just the food, but have the proper clothing, because remember, you have to walk through like 5 feet of water, bio water. So you need to have all of that type of equipment as well. I'm going to purchase one of those blow-up kayaks or some kind of canoe, anything like that, so that you can get around because you need it. Because the only people that are allowed to come in now are people that have boats. You need a boat.
Mm. Yes. So important. That is so important. The proper gear, the proper wet weather gear is so important. One, to keep you dry. And two, to keep the water off of you, because that water is just so much that goes on with the water, and that all of that stuff you have to get it, you know, beforehand, and so that you can, you know, use it at the appropriate time. It's better to buy it and not need it than to pass it up and then need it. It's, you know, your very life or someone that you love, life could be dependent upon that. So preparing before, we always say, Black Rose here on Tando, you prepare for something going wrong when everything is fine, because once things go wrong, you're going to be competing against everyone else in the world for that item that's very, very important and significant. You know, socks, you know, everything, like you said, gear, your gear, not only just the food and everything else, but it's the proper gear. supporting your, you know, the proper shoes, the protect the shoes from the weather and the elements, and having socks and just the hygiene things and is just so important. Now, what's the water situation? How is the water the plumbing situation, Black Rose?
Well, over here where I live, again, the water situation is fine, but I have spoken with some people who said that their water is about to be shut off, so they will not have water for a few days. Another thing in preparation, you were asking how do we prepare, like before Friday and the weekend. So we made sure we had our go bags together. That's another right. thing. We just had everything just there, prepared. We pulled one of those fold-out tables. We have a large, like, 6-foot table. We had that in the hallway so that we could quickly slide it into the closet to shelter us just in case the tornado came through. So those are some of the things that we had to do in preparation also. And the thing about it here in Houston is kind of like Galveston. It's almost a beach town. So, I mean, we wear a lot of flip-flops and sandals, and
right.
we don't have a lot
sure
of
do.
Thick
yeah.
jeans. Yeah, we don't have a lot of thick clothes, thick jeans. The jeans, even when we wear jeans, they're very thick jeans. Our clothes are very thin because of the heat here in Houston. So we don't have all of those, you know, thick tennis shoes or thick boots and all of that. I mean, we mm-hmm. have our cowboy boots. But as far as having, like, thick socks and things like that, a lot of people don't have those types of things. Fortunately, I had some thick socks because I spent half the year up in Detroit last year. So I did have some more sturdy clothes that I retained from being in Detroit. But, I think about people that don't have those kind of things. Like I said, we wear sandals pretty much 10 months out of the year, flip-flops.
Right.
You know, sandals.
Right.
So you have to have those items like those thick boots, rain boots, things like that. You really do have to have those. Now, what else did you ask me, Tando?
Yeah, it was you just call me Dave. Black Rose. It was also like when you went to the grocery store, what was the situation when you went to the grocery store? Did they have some provisions, or were they completely just cleaned out before the? Because you were telling me how everything was. There wasn't even a onion left on the floor, pretty much.
It sure wasn't. And when I was in the grocery store yesterday, I think there were just 3 packs of chicken. That's it. We couldn't even make it over to, like, the say, like, the butter, sour cream. All of that was blocked off. Frozen foods blocked off because there was no power. There wasn't any bread. Mm-hmm. Things like that. No bread. I mean, it was amazing to see. I'm talking about the meat section. 3 packs of chicken. 3 packs.
Wow.
No water. And even the outdoor water machines where you can normally go and just refill your gallons or your, you know, large water jug. Those were all completely empty. Empty. Everywhere. So no water.
Wow.
Luckily, we had plenty of water.
Well, see, that's so important. Now, Black Rose, now, when Academy opens up, will you be able, if you remember, make sure that if they have some way to purify water or water filtration devices, definitely see if they have them there. And if they do, make sure you can grab it because, you know, that's how you can turn non-potable water into drinking water. Some of the filters that they have there are really, really good. And Academy does carry them, but I don't know if they'll have them in stock because people will, you know, have bought those things up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Definitely have to have those to purify your water.
Black Rose, also now, what if people, how was the cash and the credit card systems working before? Was there any problems with them at all?
Not prior to Friday, but for the past, let's see. Oh, gosh. What is this, Thursday? Okay. So I think for about 4 or 5 days, all of the ATMs were shut down. So again, in preparation, as people that speak like you, to speak on being prepared, you have to make sure you have that cash on hand, because the ATM machines were down. You couldn't use your car. You couldn't retrieve any money anywhere. Not in this neighborhood. So I don't know.
It was pretty much everywhere. Yeah. It was pretty much everywhere. And you know, Black Rose, that's so important, because what was if you were able to come across someone selling some things, what were they charging for the things that they were selling? If you were able to see it, like if it was water or things of that nature, what were the prices for water and everything, if you were able to see that?
Well, you know, fortunately here there hasn't been any price gouging, not in my neighborhood. Like I said, I've been restricted here. And
right.
The water was still the same price, 88 cents for a gallon of distilled or spring water. I've heard of people having to purchase cases of water for like $12 or something like that. But the water was still the same amount as always in this neighborhood. So there was not any price gouging. The gas is still $2.07. It went up to $2.09 about 3 days ago, but it's still $2.07. in this neighborhood.
Wow. You know, Black, you're so fortunate to be in that neighborhood, because, you know, when you don't have the provisions, you know, and your family needs certain things, you know, that brings out, you know, where people start to go to drastic means. It's not that, you know, but they're trying to provide for their family. And I'm glad to hear that was actually what was happening in your neighborhood, where water was 80 cents, the regular price, and gas $2.09 at the high. I mean, that's how it should operate. And because you don't want to add and make things worse, and that's what happens. And I tell you, your neighborhood is such a – and this is what you always hope – that, you know, these type of things can bring out the best in people, with the store manager that said, okay, honor system. That's how your community gets stronger, and you're able to get past the obstacles and solve the problems that the catastrophe can bring, because you're working together. And that is just priceless. That's how it has to work.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, we had plazas. I'm talking entire plazas that were shut down. I'm talking plazas with T-Mobile, plazas with the restaurants, like Whataburger or Chili's. These plazas were shut down, so I can just imagine the millions of dollars that are being lost. And they had to shut down because guess what? You can't get there. Because people in Houston, in this Houston area, they commute from so many different areas. So, I mean, you just people couldn't come in. I went to the pet store today, and one of the staff people, they were speaking on the phone with, I guess, one of the another staff that was letting them know, hey, I can't leave my house. And they had to just tell that person, don't worry about it. We're shutting down early today anyway. That's another thing. A lot of the stores that were able to open miraculously, they shut down, you know, like, say, they only stayed open about 4 or 5 hours. Even Walgreens, now everybody knows Walgreens stay open, come rain, sleet, snow, or shine. Even
Walgreens
was shut down, okay? So that just goes to show you how bad it's been over here.
And goes to show you that when things go awry, these are the type of things that, you know, we would have to expect to contend with. Right away, if you needed something, you needed to go, you need to prioritize your day, you know, from the things that you need, what's your immediate threat, you know, prioritizing your day. Did you have to, right after the hurricane, you immediately started to prioritize your day? Okay, what's my immediate threat? Where do I need? And when you start to go through that, Black Rose, what you start to do is that you put yourself in a position of advantage that you will be able to get, you know, navigate your way around anything that's going wrong, because that's so important that you know what's going on in your community and know your community. And absolutely know you. I know that, that manager looked at a lot of customers that he's been seeing since he's been working there, and he couldn't say no to them.
Yes. I'm so glad you spoke of that. If I could just jump in right there, because I was I was just telling my mother, I said, you know what? I said, I'm so glad these people in my community know me. And that's one thing that I make a point of. I shop in my community, because guess what? There was one store that I had to go to, and because I go to that store on a regular basis, he couldn't take my card, and he was like, oh, here, just take it, and you can just come back and pay me later. I was like, oh, wow, well, thank you so much. So it's things like that, you know, like you said, people, the managers of these stores or employees recognizing your face and just saying, well, I'll see you next week. I know I'll see you in a few days. You'll pay me.
Right.
You'll pay me back or whatever.
Yep.
And so that's what happened. We've actually been able to survive like that. I mean, not that we really needed anything. I was just trying to get out and take pictures of the neighborhood, stop by some of these stores, like I said, that I regularly patronize, and just, you know, see how they're doing and get their story and find out what's going on with them. And you know, it was just wonderful. Like I said, the Kroger manager just giving us all our food for a dollar. This person telling me, go ahead on and take those items. You can come back and pay me. It was really great because these people know us. They know us in this community.
So, so important, Black Rose. Okay, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. Black Rose, let me know how much time you got because, you know, this is so, so valuable. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you have any questions for Black Rose, don't hesitate. Give a call. This is what we can do to learn to help, and it can be a real education on how we can expect things to happen, and we can look at, okay, this is what we should be doing. So don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Then hit star star. I won't see you in queue. Just say excuse me. You're listening to Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you have a question or comment for Black Rose, she is here. She is a Houstonian, and she is in Houston now. She has actually made it through Hurricane Harvey, and her experiences are just priceless to us all. So if you have any questions or comment, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Now, Black Rose, from just sitting where you are right now and being in Houston, what are some of the problems or some of the obstacles that will have to be contended with in the future from this hurricane that you see from talking to other people or just from what you see that is going to have to that the community is going to have to deal with in the coming future, with, you know, because the water hasn't receded, but where do you anticipate in some of the problems infrastructure wise and how do you see that working out? So where it's going to happen next is what I'm basically saying, Black Rose. What do you see is happening next?
Well, the thing about it is we need the roads to clear so that people can be able to move around and get around. I feel so sorry for people that, you know, are hourly workers, and if they're not being paid, while they're off during this time. So that's a major concern. So I do want to give out this donation page, if you don't mind. This is a brother that I work with. So, okay, so I know the money is going to go to people, unlike you know, maybe some other organizations where you don't know where that money is going. Yeah, okay, you said it. I'll back it up. Red Cross. So this is because we know what happened with Red Cross and, you know, during Katrina and Haiti and all of that. So this is a brother. His name is Phil Scott. He said that he will provide receipts for everyone. He is from Port Arthur, Texas, but he lives in the Houston, more so in the Houston area. Now, let's see. And that page is, let me get this. It is youcaring.com/Houston flood victims. That's youcaring.com/Houston flood victims. And you can make your donation there if you want to help people, because what people are going to need immediately is a place to stay. They need a place to stay.
Black Rose, can you type that in the chat? I think I see you in the chat. If you could type that in the chat, and I will definitely post that on Black Talk Radio Network's homepage and get it out through our social media. So if you could either email that to me, text it to me, or type it in the chat, I will definitely, since you're vouching for it, I'll definitely put it out.
Okay, I just sent it, and I also email it to you as well. But people need a place to stay. I think that many of these shelters have clothes and things like that, school supplies. They probably would need more. I mean, I know we can't, like, donate homes and things like that, but, I mean, that's really what they need.
Some people can.
Going to be for these people. You know what? Some people can, because there is a lady that did donate a house to this man and his family because his wife is pregnant. She's due in November, so she did donate a home. I'm glad you said that. She is going to, in fact, she was going, he was at Mattress Max store, I believe, and she heard his story, and she told them she has a rental property, and they can come and stay. So for all, I would say for people that have rental property, open that property up for some of these people so that they can have a place to stay.
Yes.
And if you have clothes, school supplies, because the children will return to school September the 11th. It was first announced that children would return to school after Labor Day. But just seeing how catastrophic this has been and the death toll will rise, so that date had to be postponed until September 11th. So, I mean, and it may be pushed back. We don't know. We just don't know. Things are just horrible. Like I said, we've been stuck in this house. We've been barricaded in since Thursday night. So it would not have made any sense for anybody to get on the road. I've read stories about how people have been found hanging in trees because they were trying to escape, and the waters. The people drown. People being found in their homes, they're being found in cars, up against bridges, just all kinds of things. It's just horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, it really is. And as the water recedes, so much more. That Black Rose, like you said, that Russian water, and the water that I saw, it was white water. It was moving. It was fast water, and I know from just the storm runoff in Los Angeles how water moves, especially when it's channeled. You can't contend with that. You get caught in that, it's over. It'll take you down and won't let you back up. So it was the best thing to stay in place and you know, have to deal with it, you know, from there, because you couldn't get in that Russian water, because you can't navigate your way through it. You can't swim through that. You can't.
No, you can't. And people were trying to, like, maybe go check on a family member, a loved one, or something like that. Those are the people that, some of those people are the ones that became trapped and trying to leave and go here and there. Those people were trapped. And so when people were saying, well, how come you didn't evacuate people and tell you to go here and there. Again, go where? Where were we going to go, and how were you going to get there?
Right. It was bottlenecked. It was no way in the world that those freeways, the 10 and the 45, could not handle six million people frantically trying to run. It would have been no movement at all. None whatsoever. And the risk of that was too great because there was no time. There was very little time. Remember how quickly this storm came up, too.
That storm
came up quick.
It came up quick. It certainly did. I think Friday, the wind was howling. It was crazy. So just thinking we were on the highway and we could hear the winds just blowing, howling. So just think if we were on the highway and getting caught in all of that. No, because if we left Thursday night, Thursday it was fine. So if we left Thursday, we would have still been, by the time you get home, pack and all of that stuff, figure out where you're going, you would have still been on the road come Friday night if 6.5 million people were to leave.
Exactly. Because gas becomes, how many people had gas, Black Rose? Did people didn't have gas? And if one person didn't have gas, what does that person's car do? It stops. And one person's car stops on a freeway, congested freeway, what does it do? It stops all of the lanes. Everybody's trying to fight to get over, and then one accident, and then that's it. Everybody's trapped. Bottleneck, can't move.
Everybody's trapped. That's right. And we already have that problem on a regular day. So, again, all of us on the highway at the same time, no, that was not feasible, and it would not have been the smart decision at all.
No.
Someone went to fill up my truck for me Friday morning, and it took them about 45 minutes.
Wow. That's a long time. And, you know, Black Rose, one of the things I want to talk about now, how important is Houston to the state of Texas and to the rest of the country? Maybe a lot of our listeners may not be aware that what happened with Hurricane Harvey is going to affect the national economy greatly, and because it's a port city and you start to have ports shut down, that means you have commerce shut down. That means you have supplies and goods shut down. This is going to have so much to this storm. The last city really that you wanted to be inundated with this much water at the way that it was inundated was Houston, because Houston is critical. It's a critical city not only to Texas but to the United States itself, because of there's 24% of the national oil refineries are there in Galveston and in Houston and in the greater metropolitan area, right there in the Gulf. And this is going to have some major ramifications. It's nowhere near over for the rest of the country. The rest of the country is just going to start to see some of the remnants of how important Houston is to the rest of the country, because Houston is really one of the driving economies for the state of Texas, which is the second or third largest economy in the United States. I think only California is larger than Texas. Texas is larger than some countries. And for Houston to go down, this is not good. You can't get back what was lost from what Harvey has done to Houston economically.
Yes, Houston is a port city. If you go to the port, which is northeast, on the northeast side of Houston, all the ships from all around the world come into this port, bringing all kinds of supplies. So, yes, it could devastate the whole economy. It could devastate our country because of all those ships that come in and go out. So it's very critical. So we need our ports. We need Houston. We need Houston to remain viable. We need Houston to stay alive. We need our people here to be rescued and to be safe. We've been just overwhelmed by this deluge, and we just don't know how many days we'll be trapped in. We really don't. That's why I keep trying to, whenever I can, go to the grocery store, just go get a few more items. Like I mentioned, our power continues to go in and out. It's been pretty steady today. But, I mean, we don't know if the flood waters continue to rise. We don't know what may happen by this weekend.
Yeah, so true. So, Black Rose, make sure that you conserve everything, you know, ration what you have. And your community, you're in a great, great community. And just, you know, stay abreast of as to what's going on so that you'll know, because the more you know, the better decisions that you can, you know, that you can make decisions that's in your best interest and your family's best interest, because that is absolutely critical, because, you know, things could change or things may take longer to get supplies back through in a more regular fashion. And so we just want to, you know, continue to pray and give our energy out to Houston and to you all. And so some of the listeners have already contacted me that they have clothes that they're going to want to donate and everything else. So we're going to coordinate that, Black Rose, and on your advisement as to where it should go. So we're going to do that. I know I'm going to be doing that as well, because a couple of the of the listeners have contacted me, and they, David, do you need anything? No, I'm in together for Houston, and we want to take care of, like, your community takes care of the people in their community. They will take care of anyone from what's going on. We want to make sure that we take care of, you know, Black Rose, and because you want to go by the people that are there, because they know what the real needs are. And these people that come in from other places, some of them, they're not even from Houston. You know, they rely on people from Houston for so many things. And so we have our own direct line to what's going on in Houston and how we can help, because it's definitely, some people have absolutely lost everything other than what they left the house and actually swam to or struggled to get to rescue. Now where do they go? You know, and so all of these things have, right, now all of these things have to be, you know, mitigated. And it's not going to be something that's easy, but it can be a whole lot easier if we all, you know, do our part. You know what I thought was so amazing? When the authorities, when there was no first responders, the communities was responding anyhow. And
that's right.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, Black Rose.
Yeah, because first responders couldn't get in, and you know why they couldn't get in? Because they too were affected. Many of them were flooded in, so they could not get out and rescue people. So that's why we had to have the community and local people pull out their boats. Like I said, this is kind of a beach town. We have several bodies of water around the Houston area, so people have boats, and they have big trucks. We're in Houston, so we're in Texas. So it was the community that was jumping in and going out to rescue people, come door to door, and just finding people that were stuck in their homes and pulling people out of the window, and oh gosh, it was just amazing. So yes, people had to just step up, because I think it was like 3 days before we could actually really have first responders actually on the ground coordinating those rescues. It didn't start immediately, because again, they were trapped. We had some of our city officials that had flood damage to their homes, so it was amazing that they were even able to come out and give us updates and reports. In fact, KHOU 11 news station, they were reporting live stream, and they were flooded. The studio, they had to move to another area. So this is just how bad it is.
Yes, when I tell you that our streets became creeks, I mean that. Mm. Our streets became creeks. I need to hashtag that. Because that's what happened. Yes, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so important that everyone takes a common interest in, you know, that's where you have to, because the only way to get through these type of things is that it's so vast that it's going to take an equal force and energy to be able to navigate and get around the problems that will come up, because we can't wait on someone to come, because it's a yo-yo effect. I always say you're on your own. And when you're on your own, you hope that everyone else that's on their own around you realizes that now we can come together and get through this, because if it wasn't for the all-the-time responders, this would be far worse. This would be far, far worse. And the risks were great. The people out there with their boats, they have no idea what's underneath the water. Unless they have sonar, they have no idea what's underneath the water. They got flat, you know, bottoms, that's important too. But still, they open themselves up for so much risk. They don't know if all of a sudden the rain is going to come and then change everything else in their gas situation. Where were they getting gas from, Black Rose? The boat.
That's a good question. They probably were having to get their gas somewhere outside of Houston and as they traveled in. And when you mentioned about the dangers that some of these rescuers were facing, we have had some rescuers that were electrocuted and died trying to rescue people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've had first responders become part of the fatalities as well. That's why I said the number that's being reported, 33, that's not the accurate number. People still, all of the reports are not in yet. Unfortunately.
I would also say that the rescuers were prepared. Those were probably preppers. Had to be preppers, so they might have had their own stash of gas.
Well said, Scotty. Yes. Scotty, say that again, Scotty, because I didn't mean to cut you off like that.
No, that's all I was saying, is that those who are out there possibly are preppers, and that's where they got their gas from, because people do prepare. And sometimes it is hard in times like this to just worry about your own when you see so much suffering. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if something will, and then that's your, it is what it is. And so it's great to hear the human response that's coming from Houston.
And you know what it is, Scotty? You know that you have, and you know that so many are in need. And that's why you have it. And those preppers that came out and started doing it, they have things still for themselves. But what did they do? They knew that they were going to have to, because if you're a prepper, you know that you're probably going to have to be able to assist others, because you can't do it all by yourself. And so that's, Scotty, you're absolutely right. Those were preppers. They were already prepared, and there's probably so much. I bet you they had water and everything else for the people. And the main thing about it is that they know the neighborhoods, but sometimes you get people coming in from the outside that don't know, and it would be, you know, it'd be very important if we have structure to where the people, once you get rescued, now you go out with some of the rescuers to help them navigate their way around, because they risk their life to come get you. Sometimes it's good for some of the people that are from the neighborhood that's there to show them around, because they don't know where they're really going. And this is where collective prudence becomes so, so important, because if we don't collaborate together, then every time that something goes wrong, we're going to wait for the government, and that help will never come. It will never be on time. It will always be there to count the bodies.
Well, also, Dave, I wanted to say to Black Rose that she could give us more information once again on the fundraiser that has been posted and sent out in an email. Sent out over our social media accounts, and it's posted on the front page of Black Talk Radio Network.com. And I also would like to, try to coordinate some people involved with this fundraiser. If Black Rose, you can get them to join you tomorrow, if that's possible. But that is on the front page. And if you could, because the goal is $50,000 and $3,332 have been raised thus far.
Yes, and when I spoke with the brother today, like I said, he's from Port Arthur, which has been affected, and he has family there, and he said that some of the people, some of his family members, they were in like 5 feet of water. Feet, I'm only 5'4", so I'm thinking 5 feet of water? Goodness gracious. And just to dovetail what you mentioned about collective, Brother Dave, one thing I learned after Hurricane Katrina, I've always been a friendly person. I try to get to know my neighbors. But I learned after going to help with cleanup in after Hurricane Katrina, one thing about people in Louisiana, they're very, very neighborly. So they were able to come together and really assist and help each other. And, you know, here in Texas, we have a lot of Louisiana people or people that have their Louisiana mm-hmm. heritage. That's why we were able to really work and come together like that. And I come from Memphis, small, city of Memphis, and I grew up where everybody pretty much knew each other. So I have that in me as well. And so I would say to people, get to know your neighbors so that if you need some help or if they need some help when they come knock on your door or vice versa, you know who that person is. Then all of you can work together. My neighbor was on her way to the store to get some ice yesterday. When I came back from the store, I said, well, it just closed down. We just left. We have 2 bags of ice. You can get one of my bags. Because I know her. And so it's important for us to get to know each other. Get to know your neighbor. You know, we've gotten to this point, whereas we walk by, I've never seen so many Black people walk by each other, don't speak, smile, don't say anything. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And I have to make people speak to me. I have to make them speak back. And hello, how you doing? Hello, how you doing? Because you never know. And I have to tell some of these young children walking around, you don't ever know if you may need me. You just want to walk by. You don't know if you may need me one day. And like I said, when my neighbor died and she started yelling out the window for somebody to call 911, what if I just thought she was some crazy person? But guess what? Just the day before, that was Thursday night, I was out there talking to them because they're from Puerto Rico, and so they were taping up the patio doors with tape. And I said, well, why you had that tape up against the doors? And they explained to me that they're accustomed to hurricanes, so they put the tape on the door so if the tornado or the wind breaks the window, the glass will not shatter because they have the tape strategically strapped across the window. So I was like, oh, let me go home and do that too. And, you know, so those people, they shared that information with us when their family member died. We were all like, oh, yeah, okay, who's calling 911? We didn't think this was some crazy person playing a joke because we know each other. So it's so important for people to get to know your neighbors. Speak to your neighbors. Find out what's going on. Again, you may not answer your door if it's some strange person. Oh, I don't know them. I never talked to them before. Oh, now they want some help. They never talked to me. So things like this. So we want to be able to work together and get to know each other. So those are my thoughts on community and us.
Man, Black Rose, I'm so glad you said that because I recently moved to Texas. In my first week in Texas, there was a tornado that came through Texas, and it did a lot of damage. It was the day after Christmas, and I went over. I didn't even know. I'm new in the neighborhood. I went over 3 blocks from, and I posted it inside of Kando Radio Show. On Facebook, when we were on Facebook. And Black Rose, I went over to a couple blocks over, and it was completely devastated. You know how tornadoes do with homes. They just totally just destroy them. A couple of homes exploded, just gone, everything else. And a lot of people's homes were destroyed. There was a brother outside went over, introduced myself, and said, what can I do for you? What do you need? How can I help you? And I just started helping him. We were talking, and he said, where are you from? And I said, well, I just moved here from California. You know what he said to me? He said, Black Rose, he says, I've been living here for 20 years. I don't even know my neighbor right there's name. I don't know that person. I don't know this person. And that is so important. It doesn't matter. You know, you can have all the water, all the food, and everything else. But if you don't have the camaraderie and if you don't have the overall human relationship and the human engagement, you won't make it by yourself. And when you said that with the young people, you may need me someday. And this is so important in our community. We need each other now, but we walk right by.
We walk right by. Mm-hmm. We walk right by each other.
Probably one of the most important things before you get the food, before you get this, and before you get that, establish alliances. Establish alliances with everyone around you, because when something like this happens, and believe me, I hope it doesn't happen, but if this thing with North Korea kicks off and this other hurricane comes through and it hits Florida and it may go towards New York City, where I'm going to tell y'all something, this country can't afford. Houston infrastructure is extremely, extremely developed. The country won't be able to rebuild Houston. It's not like the World Trade Center coming down. You're talking about the fourth largest city in the country and one of the most economically significant ones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to definitely...
You know,
and one of the good things about it is that when we do that, maybe now we'll develop a cookie cutter to where we'll apply what we learn from working with each other to working within ourselves for everything, and then we find all the solutions. But go ahead, Black Rose.
Yeah, I was just going to also say another thing, too, about the whole evacuation. People were comparing this, and again, I feel so sorry for people that, you know, evacuated the Louisiana area and came here. They experienced Hurricane Katrina, and then they relocated here to Houston, Texas. You know how many people came here to Houston and all across the country, but so many of them came to Houston. And then we've had 3 years back-to-back of these floods. So some of those same people have experienced these tragic weather conditions like this. So I feel so sorry for them. So what we also need is counselors, therapists, social workers. Okay, I know there was a call put out for social workers. People, I feel like I need to go talk to somebody. I mean, so people need therapists, they need social workers to really help them work through this. And I think, again, what a lot of people were comparing our situation here in the Houston area to was New Orleans. You're talking about New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, some of those cities like that. But we're talking about the fourth largest city in the country. Again, we're talking about a minimum of 4.5 to 5 million people, expanding out to 6.5 million people. So we're not talking about just evacuating New Orleans and Baton Rouge. We're talking about evacuating millions upon millions of people.
Right. Right, and the infrastructure in Houston hasn't been able to keep up with the overall growth of Houston. Houston has been growing by leaps and bounds, and anyone that's been to Houston, you know, it's only a few ways out of Houston from a hurricane, and that is you got to go north. And it's, you know, that 45 is nowhere in the world. It's just like it's basically trying to get 40,000 people through a door.
Yes.
That's what
it would have been like, trying to get 40,000 people through a door. It would have been impossible. It would have been even more tragic. No way in the world we could have done that. No way that would have been possible, feasible at all.
No. So, hey, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, you have a question, a comment for Black Rose, We're getting ready to go to our commercial break. Definitely jump in. I know that there's some things that you want to know. I know there's been a lot of things that's been reported on the news. I'm going to tell you, getting it live from people, because Black Rose is not going to sensationalize anything, and she's sincere. There is no motive here. But when it comes to the news, that stuff is just ridiculous. So if you got any questions or comments, give Black Rose a call here. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation with Black Rose, talking about Hurricane Harvey and what the experience was like thus far and what's going on now, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and, you know, hit star. I'm not on the board, so I can't see it if you have any questions for Black Rose. Black Rose, I just want to say thank you so much, sister, for coming on and talking to us. And yes, you're absolutely right. This is a very, very traumatic event and experiences that are going to need the right nurturement, because this is traumatic. You will never forget what you go through and had to deal with, and it's so traumatizing. But I know one of the great reliefs about that is just the overall, sometimes people will do things that will make you just realize and have faith back in the great human spirit, because unfortunately, it takes some major disasters for the relentless human spirit to get back to what is right for us to do. You know, I was seeing on the news how there was a bunch of red ants that all were clinging together.
Yes.
So that
yes.
They created their own little boat, and they were able to, the hurricane couldn't phase them. They were all clinging together, and it looked just like Noah's Ark. What in the world is wrong with us that we've turned off that overall instinct to come together to weather this storm? And it looked like they had ants from all other colonies that they would have been warring at and everything else. But they came together, and it was no coincidence that their overall, how they came together, looked like an ark.
That was amazing. I did see that picture, because we were warned, to stay out of the water because of the fire ants. And when I looked at that picture, those ants, it looked like, I don't know, maybe 200,000 of them all together, and they were just floating along in the water. It was amazing. And when you spoke about the amount of people here in Houston, I read a report in the paper, oh gosh, this was probably like about 4 years ago, that Houston has an average of 100,000 people a year moving here. That was like 4 years ago. So, and that increases because I've noticed on the highways, it's taking longer and longer to drive 15, 20, mm-hmm. 30 minutes away. It's taking longer and longer because we have so many people that migrate here to Houston because of the jobs and the economy here. So it's crowded here. One thing I can say that on our highways are pretty progressive. But speaking on highways, again, when people were talking about evacuating,
if we were to evacuate, oh, okay, so let's say we leave Houston and we go to Rosenberg. That's another suburb outside of Houston. Well, Rosenberg had a sinkhole. So that's, again, why we couldn't just get up and just evacuate.
Put people
in
harm's way.
Where to go. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, they have huge sinkholes in different places, so we couldn't leave. You would have put yourself in more danger.
Wow. Wow. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you have any questions or comments for Black Rose, please express them now. And this is just priceless. And so, Black Rose, I know what you said is the most important thing, you know, for me, is that in preparing, you have to prepare with people. And I know that, you know, this is what we do on Tando Radio Show. That's what we talk about. But I think that, you know, because of the events, if you look at a lot of the events that are going on, we, like you said, you know, we didn't see a lot of the things that we're seeing now because things are changing. And we have to realize that it's so important that we change as well. We're going to have to become more community-orientated. We have to become more prepared to where we don't, you know, where we can actually be the first and last responders to everything, because the authorities, so-called authorities, always come when it's never, you know, it's not enough time. It's too late. And we can respond to things immediately. Then what does that do? That strengthens the bonds of our community. So that was the thing that I'm coming away with. That's the most important thing, is that it's your neighbor. And it's the neighbor around the other corner and around the other block that you don't know that becomes significant. And the significance of them is life-saving significance. Doesn't get any
Absolutely.
More important than that.
Yeah, there were people that were actually like sending out messages saying, you know, we have room, we have power. You know, if you need a place to stay, take a shower, you can come here. I even tweeted out before our lights went out. I tweeted out that we have power, we have water, we have a fire stick. If anybody's in this area and you can make it over here, you can come by. We had a neighbor right down the way. He's the only one that had a generator because he's on a breathing machine also. But he didn't invite anybody to come in and heat up any baby formula, heat up your beans, or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, it just goes from one end of the spectrum to the next.
It sure does. It sure does. You have all forms of characters. But those individuals, they've chosen to be an individual. But, you know, when it comes to different things, it's a community that's been affected. And so that means if there's a community solution that needs to be had. And so very, very, very important. You know, this is where you actually galvanize your resources to come together. So that is critical. Now, Black Rose, what's the weather like now? You know, because one of the things that I'm concerned about is hopefully it stays relatively cool and that heat doesn't come up, because that can bring another problem if it does. If it starts to get, you know, humid and starts to get really hot again, that is going to be another thing, with no AC for a lot of people, and just, you know, people being trapped, and some people, hopefully they have power. So it's what's the weather like now, Black Rose?
Well, it's partly cloudy and 91 degrees. The low will be 71, and that will remain until Saturday. But Sunday, we're expecting a 40% chance of rain. Monday, 90%, and 80% on Tuesday. So we're hoping that, goodness gracious, if it rains Monday and Tuesday again, things could get a lot worse. So hopefully that does not happen. Like I said, when we have regular rainfall here, we could experience 2 feet of water in front of
wow.
your home. So if we have rain all day, Monday and Tuesday, we could be in danger again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to watch that. And so I'm going to stay in contact with you, Black Rose, and I'm going to try to get you know, because I don't know Houston very, very well. But believe me, I got some friends here in Dallas that you know, that do. Now, Black Rose, where do you anticipate, what do you see happening? Because what I see is happening is that a lot of these homes are not going to be, you know, where they're going to be, people may not be able to return to them for a while. And the overall need is going to be more than just a couple of days in you know, from the hurricane. This is going to be months of support that's going to have to happen. And so
years of support. Years.
Yes, I didn't. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Years.
It's going to take years for us to recover from this. Years. I'm just thinking, like the apartment below me. Although we didn't have any flood damage, they have flood damage and they have mold. And that mold, as I was speaking to one of my environmental activist friends, she said that mold could travel up to my ceiling, my wall.
Yes. Yeah.
So I mean, we'll be experiencing things like that, and then see, and you know, these people
it'll grow.
Will not. That's right. These people will not remove that. What do you call it? The
asbestos.
Call it the plywood. That and not the plywood,
the drywall.
The drywall. Thank you. They will not remove that drywall and take that mold out there, just paint right over it, and then somebody will move in there. Next thing you know, they're sick, and they don't even understand why.
Mm.
So those are some problems that we'll experience as well. I mean, these homes that have 4 and 5 feet, 6 feet of water in them, how in the world do you return to that? How in the world? And that's why I say, when Joel Osteen said that he had that flood damage, it was no way in the world that you can open that church up within a matter of days and then have people sleeping on air mattresses in the church on the floor. If you really had water damage, then no one was able to come in there.
You know when you do things such as that, your 501c status should be revoked.
It should be revoked.
Part of your 501c status is that you don't have to pay taxes that everybody else do. Now, because you didn't, you were irresponsible, then now you have to run a business. You can't have the overall abilities or have the overall privileges of having a nonprofit status when you reject the very people that are paying for your nonprofit status.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To be revoked.
And speaking of that, Joel Osteen said that he didn't open the church initially because the city didn't ask him. Well, you're worth over $67 million and you collect $90 million a year in taxes and tithes, is what I read. You don't need the city permission to do anything.
No.
You don't need the city's permission. Mattress Mack, Joel Osteen could have collaborated with Mattress Mack. His name is James McInville. He could have collaborated with him. Those two businesses are right down the street from each other. He could have collaborated with him, brought in those mattresses for those people. Joel Osteen, you're worth over $67 million. You could have collaborated with all of these people that have these restaurants in Texas to bring in food for these people. We have the Houston Rockets, we have the Dynamo team, and we have the Texans. I think that they would be more than happy to donate some of their millions to help people, instead of him sitting up asking other people, average everyday people like myself, to donate. No, you have enough money, along with the rest of the millionaires, the numerous millionaires in between Houston and Dallas. We have some of the most millionaires outside of places like California, right here in Houston, Texas. So it was no need for him to sit here and ask average, everyday, ordinary, working
the ones that have been affected by the storm.
Thank you. But
exactly. The ones that have been affected by the storm. It's ridiculous. And you know, this is a clear example of, you know, it's also if you're a part of that church, this individual is shown who they really are. Because how much worse would it have had to have been for him to be charitable? There is no charity in him. He collects charity. And this storm shows us the worst and the best in people. And what we have to fix is what's the worst of everything, the worst of the infrastructure and the worst of the individuals that will just be there to exploit the everyday masses. Those individuals that go to that church should no longer be a part of that church, because that church does not have your best interest. When you and everyone else was when they were at their absolute worst, when they needed the church, it closed its doors. And I'm going to tell you why it closed its doors, because it didn't want its plush carpet to get destroyed by people that were wet.
Spent $27 million redecorating the church. So I guess he didn't want people to come in. And let me tell you another thing. That area where that church is located, you have a mixture of people. Again, like I said,
yes, you sure do.
Like a microcosm of the world. You have a lot of people from Salvador. You have people from Colombia. You have people from Mexico. You have some black people.
South America, yes.
South America. You have all those types of people. And then that highway, 59, people say you have a lot of the MS-13 and MS-16.
MS-13, yes.
He didn't want them. Yeah, I guess maybe he didn't want some of the gangs to come in and all of that. With
that wouldn't have been a problem at all, Black Rose. You know, because no one would have stand for that, nor would anybody been looking to do that because they were worrying about surviving. And where that church is, it's so elevated right there.
Yeah.
The freeway that goes by there is so elevated. If it was flooded, that's because the whole city would have been submerged completely. The only
that's
way
that
place could have got flooded.
We didn't hear anything about. That's the one. And I've been tuned in to the live stream continuously since, like, Friday. I didn't hear anything about Highway 59. I might have missed it, but I didn't hear anything about Highway 59 being underwater. No, it was I-10, the highway that I live off of, that goes up to California where you're from, I believe. Highway. Yes, Highway 10 and 45 going downtown. Again, that area where Lakewood is located is near Uptown. I used to travel that way every day, pass right by that church, so I know exactly where it is. I've been on the property, and you have a mountain of stairs that you have to climb to get into the darn church. So he did not have that much water damage. What I heard was he had about 1 centimeter of water, and I believe it. And I did see the video, and it wasn't that much water for you to even splash up on your knees.
And that's probably from a part of the roof or something that was leaking a little from all the rain. But that was it. Listen, Black Rose, we got your number. Let's stay in contact. Let's put this together to support, because we're going to be having to do this for a very long time. Sister, I love you. Thank you for being you. Can't wait to meet you. And I'm in Dallas.
Okay.
You got my number.
It's 3 hours away.
You got my number. And if something goes awry, you got a place.
Thank you very, very much. And thank you so much for having me on. And people can go to, You Care. Let me get that again. That's You Care. youcaring.com/Houston Flood Victims, and you can donate there. And there's a number attached to this, and I'm not sure if that number, you would need that to get exactly to this, but it's 920089. So youcaring.com/Houston Flood Victims, 920089. Thank you so much, and keep praying for us, and just keep us in your prayers and thoughts here in the Houston area.
We will, and we're going to work with you. Much love, much respect. Okay, everyone, we're getting ready to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Brother Braggs, if you on, if you would, chime us out, and we will talk to you all soon. Peace.
Peace, peace. Kind of slow today.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.